or 10 seconds.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire!
All right. How was your week?
Hello, hello. It was good. Been nice in the UK.
It's good.
A little bit cold, but it's okay. Blue skies and sunshine.
Yeah, I think that's why the power went out here. It was so hot that everyone was using their air conditioner before it was too early.
That's
so,
it, Michael. Just rub salt in the wound.
Inside. Let me go inside here. There's a baby that's not real happy.
It's always when you're live.
All right. Well, I can filter it all out, but it's going to be distracting. It's pretty easy to filter all the noise out. But yeah, it's been so hot here that I think everyone's been using their air conditioner, and I think that may have set the power out for a couple hours last night. And that affects pretty quick. Like, I don't know what's going on with the internet. That was down all morning, up for 5 minutes, then down, and then up, and then down, and it was just too inconsistent. So I figured I'd go get coffee at Starbucks and do this.
Sit it out and wait.
So you got back from Paris, finished work. For the week.
Yep.
Everything went well, huh?
Yeah, I mean, in the UK, remember, we've got the three-day weekend. We were the 1st of May. No idea what we're celebrating. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just that it's May we're celebrating. The sun might be coming. I was asking someone at work today, and I was like, why do we do it? And they're like, I don't know, maybe it's almost summer. Who knows?
One of our Scottish hosts, Keith Blackmore, who you probably meet in September. Really a funny, funny guy, and he's a magician. And he posted a little thing on, took some pictures of Scotland, and gorgeous, you know, gorgeous pictures.
It is beautiful.
It reflected
beautiful.
It reflected the cold, and you know, and he says, "Happy spring." It's like, you know. 10 Celsius and things like that. And I said, well, Keith, I could make you jealous and send you a picture of what it's like here in San Diego right now. And he says, okay, do it. So I did. And then he had a few expletives for me. Well, you told me to do it.
It's not so. So I used to live in Saudi Arabia, and it's the same like in Cali. Like, you don't generally talk about the weather. When you kind of talk to people across the pond,
know.
You ask about the weather. But in Saudi and in Cali, it's hot. Finish.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, unless it's the East Coast asking, you know, what the weather is like, you know, out here, because they get jealous, too. Unless it's the East, the people out west just don't, you know, they don't talk about it because it's the same all the time.
Yeah, unless you're in San
Diego.
Fran. San Fran's a bit. And can
San
be
Francisco,
UK-like.
Which is the area. But I grew up in the Napa Valley, which is just about 40 minutes outside of San Francisco. And and it can get very warm, and it's more, you know, Southern California-ish weather-wise there. But then you get into the city, and, I mean, what did they say that... summer in San Francisco was the coldest time I ever spent, or something like that. I mean, it can get really, really, you know, chilly.
It's like
in
England.
San Francisco. I don't know if it's quite that bad. When I was when I was in the UK working for for President Reagan, we went to the UK. Something with Maggie, with Thatcher. We were doing something with her. I don't even remember what we were doing, but we decided to, while we were waiting, and they were at 10 Downing, we were touring around, and this English guy says, I'll show you guys around. I'll show you White House guys around and everything.
Yeah.
And he's showing us around, and then he's telling us about, you know, everything about London and the weather there. And he looked at us and he says, and do you know what our official colors are? And I looked at him and I said, I have no idea what your official colors are. I thought it was a serious question. And he said, gray and grayer.
I like that. I like that one. Sadly true, but yes.
I'm in a gorgeous city, but the same colors are gray and grayer.
Very, very, maybe with a bit of navy and black in there as well, but yeah.
Yeah,
generally dull.
Navy and black, but when it is sunny in London, what a gorgeous city that is.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. I think when it is actually English summer, it's beautiful because it's just the right temperature. You have all the trees in bloom. It is really beautiful, but yeah, it's a rare occasion one must enjoy when it happens.
So when did you get over from? I'm asking this for the radio thing we're gonna do here.
Okay.
Shortly.
When did
you get to London from Saudi Arabia?
So I was born and raised in Saudi Arabia. Born in Jeddah, moved to Riyadh, the capital, when I was about 10. But then moved in 2000 permanently, the whole family, because I was kind of 18. You can't really work there as a woman. And the parents had been there for like 20 years. So
right.
I've been officially in the UK since 2000, so 17 years.
You've only been in the UK since 2000?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was in, well, okay, so I went to boarding school for a couple of years. So I was like in and out of Saudi for 18 years, but permanently in the UK since 2000. So it's, time has flown. It doesn't seem that long ago, quite strangely. But yeah, but I don't
really
miss, like, Saudi's my home. Huh? What was that?
Uh-huh.
I was just saying Saudi's my home, but it's like I can't go back there. You can't. I can't work there, so... But in my heart, it
is
home.
Not after what you've been, not after what you're used to over in London now.
There would be no public speaking about mindset and all of that kind of stuff. That would definitely not be allowed.
did they ever, one of the things that when we were over there with President Reagan, one of the things at that time was that women could not drive.
They still can't drive. No, they still can't drive.
That is just nutty.
Yeah, but right. So people used to complain. They're like, oh my gosh, you can't drive. You have to like cover yourself up. And I was like, it's not that bad. Like you have a fever, and you can go shopping in your pajamas. What's so bad about that? You have like a bad hair and face
now,
day. You just cover it up.
I love that for, you know, other than the you know, the oppression. I love that mindset.
It is.
How
it's
you
true.
Turn that around.
Yeah,
that is a great way of looking at it.
There's always another perception, Mike. There's always another one. But the driver thing is awesome.
How are we going to turn this into a positive? Well, I have a driver, and I can just pretty much go out and whatever I want because everything else is covered up.
Yep. The one.
That may be the greatest mindset I've ever heard on that issue.
There.
Talk about deflating the whole issue. Oh, yeah, it's not that big a deal. I can go out of my pajamas. I'm a bad driver. How about that?
Very true.
I'm living like the elite. It's like a limo, you know? Hey, I've got a driver. I can do whatever I want. Why do I want to drive? Too much traffic.
Well,
too many people honking at me.
Well, apart from work or leave the house or leave the country, none of those things. I can't do those, but I can have a driver.
Yeah, exactly. You can have a driver. Have any interesting experiences that changed how you think from Saudi, from growing up there on did it change you from, say, a more free country or a more flexible or open country? Anything stand out at you?
Well, yeah, definitely. I've obviously done like a lot of gone deep on my journey into self, and so one of my highest values is freedom, funnily enough. I'm very independent because, when I was growing up, all the women around me couldn't do anything without a man. So, like, you couldn't earn money, you couldn't leave the house, you can't leave the country, all of that kind of stuff. So I've been working and supporting myself since I was 16. And, just generally, I like to pay for everything and do everything, which can be a bad thing in relationships. So I've gotten over that one now. But, just having that highest value of freedom. I'm fine with someone looking after me now. But, definitely growing up there, it kind of gives you certain values and an outlook on life. So the independence, high valuing freedom. I'm not all like women's rights and stuff like that. It's just kind of general human rights. But then also, it kind of, the good thing about it is it gives you, they call it a third culture kid. You're usually from somewhere, but you've grown up somewhere, like the army brat. But it's like, it's literally a melting pot of culture and so many different nationalities. And it's like you against the Arabs. So, if the Arab guy crashes the car, it's always going to be your fault, even though it's blatantly his. And there's definitely like a hierarchy there. It's kind of, you really get to see what racism is, if you like, and kind of the people looking down on each other or people looking up on each other. So it makes you really, really aware of all that. But then for me, it makes you like rise above it and kind of see it's that's not the way to be done. And also like money. I had so many friends who've got like daddy's doctor's 20 grand credit card, or particularly Arab females. They're like literally living in a golden cage. They can have all the money they want in the world. Even like the men, they've got all the money in the world that they want, but they don't have that freedom. They can't just be who they want to be. It's kind of like they've got that undertone there. So it's, there's a lot of learnings about money, independence, human rights, but then you learn so much of like all the different nationalities. So there's like a German school, Swedish school, British school, French school, American school. And you all generally tend to hang out together. So yeah, it's like a bit of a mixed bag. But I think because I grew up there, I didn't know any better, so I had a great time. Whereas I think if I always say either 13 and below or 30 and above. So when you've got all your partying and stuff out the way, and if you're like all human rights, just don't go there. Not the place to be if you're all human rights. If you just want to earn money, have a good time, then go for it. So I think like I like it, but I kind of get it's just one of the oppressive regions. They still actually do have the chop square where you can go and watch people's heads being chopped off. They've got that kind of thing as well. Interesting, very interesting, Michael.
Yeah, we knew that, we knew that that was going on in the 80s when we were there with the president, and you just kind of, from an international policy standpoint, you kind of, have to overlook certain things from a strategic standpoint, and Saudi was, at that time, and still is, a strong, strong ally of the West. And so, and in that region, you need all the allies that you can get. And,
correct.
And you don't want to, piss off the king and stuff like that. So,
yep.
So we had to walk a really, really fine line from a political standpoint, coming from the United States, and Maggie did too back in our day too, from Great Britain. You just have to walk a really, really fine line over there because they are a great, great ally in terms of international affairs, and strategy. But there's so much that that the West would find, tasteful and appalling.
Exactly.
That, you know, when we would get it all the time from, you know, the various human rights groups and things like that. Why aren't you doing something about this? Well, you know, it's a lot more complicated than you think.
Yeah. And it's the thing, it's
a lot
more
complicated. There's a lot more that goes into it, you know, from a strategic standpoint. You say the wrong thing, and all of a sudden you've lost your only strategic ally in the region, you know, or at least your strongest strategic ally in the region, you know, and then you've got a problem.
Yep.
Yeah, they kick our bases out over there, and we are in deep, deep, deep doo-doo.
Well, exactly. It's a good strategic.
It's a great strategic, you know, and they're supportive of, you know, of the international, you know, things that we were doing, you know, at the time. And so, that, you know, but we got reports of all that stuff going on, and it still goes on today. But, yeah.
It is what it is. And it's funny. I was going to say, it's the last place that's going to change. It's the home of Islam.
Yeah.
It's one of the last Arab regions that will change. So you just leave them to it. It's not like they're enforcing it on everyone. So.
Right.
Yeah.
No, and I can't remember the name of the Saudi prince that I had a discussion with.
Bin Walid? Khalid bin Walid?
Insanely articulate. Spoke English perfectly and seemed like a progressive, you know, nice guy. So why they wouldn't, you know, institute change, is beyond me. But he wasn't, you know, he was very pleasant. I mean, very articulate, very bright.
Yes, yeah. Well, because they send him to your school. They call it the knowledge drain, because they basically send everyone to America, but then when they come back to their country, there's not much for them to do, because the international folk do most of the work. So I think they've recognized that in the last 10 years, so they're trying to get more of the young Saudis to actually work there. But everyone's educated in the States, and they're all really knowledgeable, but it's not. I think it's changed now. I haven't been there for ages, but.
Yeah, when I was in school, right before I got into the political world at Stanford, we had a ton of people from Saudi there. I mean, a whole bunch. So they educate over here, and then a lot of them don't return.
Back to that freedom issue, freedom and opportunity.
I went to law school with a couple of Saudis, and I asked them, you know, are you going back? Well, that was the idea. We were supposed to go back, but, and they've been Americanized by then, because 4 years of undergrad school and 3 years of law school, and I said, well, you're supposed to go back. Wasn't that part of the deal? And they said, well, yeah, it was part of the deal. And I said, are you going back? And he says, I've got two answers to that. No. And hell no.
That's exactly it. It's once you've been let out the cage, then you wouldn't want to go back there, because you can get trapped there as well. They don't let you leave.
I just laughed, you know. And now, what was this in South Africa? In South Africa, they've been training doctors over here, because their medical school is horrid, and the idea is they're supposed to return, but the doctor shortage is getting worse because they get over here.
I am not going back.
And hell no. And you're going to make a heck of a lot more money here than you can in South Africa as a physician, as a doctor. So there's no way they're going back. What's the country thinking? So they pay for them to come over here to go to school, and then they just tell them, you know, screw you, I'll pay the loan back, because in my first year I can pay it back.
They've got
the exchange rate.
Yeah.
And because they're highly skilled, they can stay and they can get around the visa issue. So, because if you're a physician, it's not really a problem. So they're allowed to stay, and they get a permanent visa simply because they're a doctor and they've got a graduate degree, and they don't go back until South Africa is losing doctors. And they don't know what to do about it, because you can't trade them over there. And the same thing. We'll send them to Britain. You know, we'll send them to the UK. Well, no, they're doing the same thing there, too.
Same thing.
In spite of the weather.
Yeah.
In spite of the weather. All right, Susan, I don't want to keep you too long. We better get going on this. So what we're going to do
Yeah.
Is we're going to do like a 10-second countdown. And then I'm going to introduce the show, and I'm going to introduce you. And we're going to talk a little bit about how you got to, from Saudi to London and your story. So I want to talk about your story and kind of the stuff that we've just been talking about here. And we're going to talk a little bit about your upcoming radio show and what people can expect.
Yes.
And then we're just going to have a conversation about who Susan is.
Okay,
and as a person, because the authenticity there is, is really important. We'll talk about the dot puppy and ask some fun questions.
Okay.
Talk about the puppy. The puppy's adorable. Got to talk about the puppy.
So we'll do
that.
So we're going to do this kind of a, let me turn the sound filter on here.
Okie dokie.
Okay. What I'm going to do, however, is replay the music so I don't have to edit too much.
All righty. I'm good to go.
And then we'll
go
introduce the show, and we'll be good to go.
All righty. Let's do this.
I'm here. Get into... And your show premieres at what time next week?
So it's Wednesday the 3rd of May at 8 p.m. GMT, so
8
that's 3 p.m. EST.
Okay, 3 p.m. EST and 12 Pacific.
Yeah.
All right, let's go silent for 10 seconds here.
Okay.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
All right, as Matthew McConaughey would say, hello everyone, this is Michael Brooks, and it's a very special edition of Ignite Your Life. As you know, I'm the founder of the Coach on Fire Radio Network, and in just a minute, I'm going to introduce a very exciting brand new host on the Coach on Fire Radio Network, and she's got a very, very cool show called Ask Madison coming up next week, as a matter of fact. Wednesday, May 3rd at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, and I believe that's 8 p.m. in the U.K., which is where she is based. So yet another host from the United Kingdom. So let me, since this is an interview show, and we're going to get right to Susan, because I have nothing else for you today except to focus on Susan Madison, who has an incredible story. And she's got a business that she's going to tell you about, which is absolutely amazing. She works with private clients, so you're going to get an opportunity to find out a little bit more about her if you want to work with her privately. But most importantly, you're going to be hearing her every other week starting May 3rd on her brand-new radio show, Ask Madison. Susan, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be part of Coach on Fire. And happy Friday to everybody.
Yeah, it's Happy Friday. We are recording this on Friday. What's the date today? It's the 28th. Almost May 1st is coming up. So hope everyone's having a fantastic spring day here in San Diego. It's beautiful and about 80 degrees overlooking the harbor, which is where I'm coming from. And Susan is coming from me from just outside of London. Susan, is that right?
Yep. I live in a place called Virginia Water, and it's where Wentworth Golf Course is for any of the golfers out there. And it is, well, it's evening for me now, but yeah, it has been sunny, but not as warm as San Diego, unfortunately. But hey, we're used to it over the side of the pond.
That's right. And springy today there?
Yep. It's English spring. I think we have different seasons. But, yeah, no, it's all good. And we've actually got the long weekend. We've got a three-day weekend coming up, which is, awesome. Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Okay, Susan, now you have a really interesting story. You were born in Saudi Arabia, now living in the U.K. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, what you're doing today, how you got to where you are, and any insights you may have between Saudi Arabia and the UK. You've been over there for a while now, but you're basically a Saudi native. So tell us about your story, because I think it will be inspiring to a lot of people.
Okay. Thank you. So I am actually half Filipino and half English, but I was born in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. So I've got a British passport which says born in Saudi Arabia on it. I have been stopped by Homeland Security a couple times coming into the country. Not very useful. But so I was born in Saudi Arabia. No, it's honestly, I don't look like a terrorist, I promise. But anyway.
Yeah, no,
so
I
grew up in Saudi, and I was there until I was 18. And of course, it's not the country where, as a woman, that you can work. So my parents and I decided to leave the whole family around 2000, and I moved to the UK, where I've been in IT since I was 16. I've got 18 years experience in the world of IT, and the last three in the coaching world. But with regards to Saudi, it's a really, really interesting place to grow up. And it's made me who I am in many, many different ways. Obviously, living in one of the most oppressed countries in the world, my highest value is freedom. So obviously, especially as a woman, you can really leave the house or work or even leave the country without the permission of a man. And I was just talking to Michael before this interview. It still is one of the only countries where you can't drive as a woman. And it's quite funny because I'm actually known as the mindset shifter. And what I said to Michael when he was saying you can't drive there, I was like, it's great. It means you have a driver. And you know you got to cover up? Well, doesn't matter. You can go shopping in your pajamas. I thought that was a great little mindset flip there, didn't you?
And it is indeed a great little mindset shift. Which brings me into what you are doing now as a coach, Susan, which is really exciting, shifting people's mindset in order that they may have a happier, more successful life and business and career. So tell us a little bit about what you do and helping people to shift their mindset and live a happier, more successful life and more profitable business.
Okay, alrighty then. So, well, firstly, okay, so I'm going to define mindset. What I call that is what you're thinking and believing. And when I was looking at becoming a coach three, four years ago, to include the training, was, okay, so I could do business training, I could do relationship training, sex training, but then I actually really thought about it. Everything boils down to your mindset, what you're thinking and believing. So I thought I'd go to the root and do mindset coaching specifically. And so then I chose NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, as my certification, my tool in my coaching toolbox. And I chose to focus on, coming from the corporate IT world, chose to focus on people generally aged, men and women, 25 to 40-ish in the corporate IT world. And what I do is I help shape what is holding them back and teach them how to be architect of their life. So that's about it in a nutshell.
Okay, cool. And your radio show coming up on the Coach on Fire Radio Network. And by the way, you're going to be able to find out all about Susan's show and a little bit more about her at facebook.com/Coach on Fire Radio. You'll find out about Susan's upcoming show on May 3rd at 12 Pacific, 7 UK time, and 3 p.m. for all of you on the East Coast. And if you're anywhere else in the world listening, and I know that we have many from around the world listening, especially in Australia, New Zealand, and even in Europe, just calculate the time zones out because it would take me forever to go through them here. And so, 12 Pacific, 7 in the in the UK, and wherever you are in the world, you can figure that out. But if you go to facebook.com/Coach on Fire Radio. You'll find out about all of our 20-plus hosts on the Coach on Fire Radio Network. And Susan is a mindset shifter, and she deals with mindset. But we have coaches in about every single niche, authors, speakers, motivators, nutritionists, fitness experts, you name it. Go to facebook.com/Coach on Fire Radio, and you'll be able to find out not only about Susan, but everyone else on the Coach on Fire Radio Network. And let me tell you, they are delivering awesome content. You're going to be able to listen to that show and then use it immediately in your life and business after the show is completed. So that's very, very cool. And Susan, Ask Madison, as I said, premiering May 3rd. Tell us a little bit about what our audience is going to be able to expect in the coming weeks from your show.
Okay. So Ask Madison radio show is going to be about, well, obviously, coaching. You can dial in, and it can give you a bit of speed coaching on the spot. But what I'd love to do is I have a lot of interesting friends. So I'm going to be getting people I know that are either very passionate about what they do, a little bit quirky, or very, very successful, and really get into the their mindset. You know, what do they believe and think about themselves that's got them where they are today? My first guest actually came about in my weekend in Paris last weekend. And one of my girly friends from Saudi Arabia, used to go to school with, she said, oh, I know this awesome girl. She's actually from the States. Her name's Jessica, and she's actually written three books. Two of them are called 50 Women. It's about their how they overcome and triumph unimaginable. Like, we're talking war stories here. And she also, you know, speaks at the UN, and this is where the tech link comes in. She's doing a master's in media innovation and is really into how virtual reality could change the education system. This is another one of my passions. So I'll be interviewing interesting people from around the world, doing a bit of Ask Madison speed coaching, and, you know, just getting to know a little bit about me and my mindset and what I do for my clients.
Yeah, very, very cool, Susan. It's going to be an exciting show. I can't wait to listen and produce it for you. So it's going to be very, very interesting. And you premiere May 3rd, as I said. I know we're keeping to repeat this, but it's very, very important to remember when Ask Madison is going to premiere, and that is May 3rd at 12 Pacific and 7 in the UK, which is where Susan currently resides.
So, 8 p.m. in the UK.
Oh, 8 p.m., I'm sorry. 8 p.m. in the UK, that's right. So,
and repetition, Michael.
Susan, I apologize.
That's
repetition,
all right.
I know.
I was going to say, repetition is one way to get stuff into your unconscious mind. So keep repeating it.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, keep repeating it. Yep. 12 Pacific, 8 UK. 12 Pacific, 8 UK on May 3rd, everybody.
After me.
Okay. All right, Susan, let's get to know you a little bit, and I like to get to know our host a little bit and have our audience get to know people as they, you know, as a person. We talked a little bit about your background and growing up in Saudi Arabia, and one of the things you talked about, you know, that you're going to be talking about on your show, you know, as you know, that I used to work politically at a very high level, and
yes,
you and I could probably talk a lot about current affairs, and maybe we'll do that sometime on our, you know, on our show, but that's not for this, but so I would like to get to know you a little bit. Now, I know that you live with a very, very special not person, but a very adorable creature of some sort. So why don't you, I mean, you sent me pictures of this adorable thing, and I just love it. And so why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Okay, then. So I've always been an animal lover. One of my passions is tigers, but I don't have a pet tiger. That's not cool. But I actually have a giant dog. He's called Victor, and he's a European blue Great Dane, and he's so cute, but he does actually weigh about 75, 80 kilos, which is, I think that must be about like 170 pounds. So he is massive. He's huge. He's actually about the same weight as a female Sumatran tiger. He's huge. He's got big face, big paws.
He's
very, very cute.
Certainly adorable. He's certainly adorable from the photos that you sent, and so now I can say a puppy, big puppy. So that is, you know, does he have a favorite toy, or, you know, other than eating you out of house and home and costing you a fortune in food, does he have a favorite toy?
Oh, God, yeah. He's like a spoiled child. He's got lots of ropes. It was his birthday. He just recently turned two, so he's got like a squeaky lobster, like a elephant thing. But yeah, he kind of, it's 50-50 whether he like demolishes them or not. So because he's like, oh, there's a lot of chewing power behind those jaws there. But yeah, he's a good boy, really. He likes to walk. He sleeps a hell of a lot. Like, this is one of the reasons why I got a giant dog. They don't actually need that much walking, and they're really happy just sleeping on the bed or the sofa.
Very, very cool. San Diego was recently voted the number one dog city in the country. I don't know who voted on it, but it was a report out here a few weeks ago that the number one dog city, and you would not believe it. Everyone is always walking their dogs. Most restaurants are dog friendly. They will keep out in front of their restaurant, and you can have the dogs in the restaurant as long as they're not being disruptive. And you'll see it right on, you know, right on the sign. We are a dog-friendly restaurant, and so it's just really cool to see all the dogs and their owners and how they reflect the personalities of their owners. But it's a very, very cool thing to watch. And most of the dogs are really friendly. And when I'm doing my walk, you know, I must pet about 10 or 15 different dogs that'll just come up to you, and they just love to see the people and water bowls out all over the place for them. So very, very cool, cool city for dogs. I don't know if your area is quite that dog friendly, but anyway, your dog is very, very adorable. And you've had him for how long now?
Just 2 years. I've had him since 2 months, so just under 2 years. I'd love to bring him to San Diego, but yeah, I'm not quite sure he'd fit on the plane. We can see about it. I'll find someone with a private jet.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he'd love it out here in San Diego, or, you know, get someone to...
fly him over for me.
Sponsor
I can
you.
Just see him.
Yeah,
I can imagine bringing him...
over for you, you know.
I could see it. Like, if I actually brought him into a restaurant, he's really tall, so his tail would actually, it's like a whip. It would actually clear the table. You got to be careful. Not your average dog.
Yeah, I don't know how you get it. I don't know how you get a Great Dane over here. Okay, you know, they've got, you know, the airline that cost a fortune, I'm sure, but I'm sure they've got, you know, big kennels for them to put them on a plane and to probably tranquilize them. But I know when I took a dog years ago to Hawaii, they quarantined the dog for a while. I think for 3 days they quarantined it, and I was not happy about that. Doesn't seem to make sense if they can prove that they've had all their shots and everything. And you know, it doesn't seem to make sense on why they would quarantine something like that. And I don't know what the rule is, you know, taking a dog, say, from the United States to the UK or from the UK to the United States. I don't know what the rule is on that. And if there's
You can bring, like, fruit and vegetables into your country or to the UK, so I think they're definitely going to quarantine the animal. You could just come and see me, Michael, if you really want to meet him.
No, you're supposed to bring him out here in September. No, you can't do that. You're going to be too busy.
Yeah. I'll just bring myself.
But, just bring yourself. And and I'll fly to the UK and meet the puppy. And
there we go.
I got to meet the puppy someday, any way you look at it. All right. We're getting way off track here, but we are getting to know Susan a little bit and how much she loves her puppy, which is a really, really good thing. Susan, do you have animal lover? Do you have a celebrity crush? Actor or actress? Someone famous, maybe? Celebrity crush?
I was never really into that, but I do have two people. I've actually got two cats as well, and the names of the cats are the clue to who I admire. So the first one's Angelina Jolie. I find her fascinating, as do most people.
It's the same woman.
But then this kind of shows the geek in me. My boy cat, he's called Tesla, not after Elon Musk, but after Nikola Tesla. He's like one of my favorite geniuses. So two different people that I admire.
Elon Musk out of, could never have done what he did with Tesla.
in his home country of South Africa than he's done over here. But you have to admire what he's putting together over here. Riz. He's just insane.
Yeah.
I've met him a couple of times. Very, very interesting man. And,
wow.
Very, very. You know, he's in California, so I meet people, you know, out here all the time.
His mindset would be interesting to study. He's a very, very driven, successful person. Maybe one day. We'll add it to the list.
Angelina Jolie also, I think, gets a really, really bad rap. Especially some of the stuff I've read about her in the UK. But she is a very, you know, the one time that I met her, she was a very, very pleasant, nice person. You know, you can't tell anything from one time, obviously, but maybe she's getting a bad rap because she was certainly pretty pleasant and, you know,
I think she comes, you know, and also, you know, you always calibrate off behaviors, and if you kind of look at what she actually does in the world, if you forget the whole actress and, you know, the trash news, she actually does stuff to help the world, so...
And that is, you know, in fact, I interviewed a couple of actresses that I thought, you know, were profound in terms of trying to help the world for my book. And one of them has become a friend of mine who was in The Notebook and, you know, kind of not my thing in film, but, you know, she uses acting to fulfill her life purpose, which, you know, is a lesson for everybody. You know, which is, you know, no one cares about what you do for a living. They care about what you do for the world and, or your community or, you know, what you do. And she uses it and she does great things. And she moved out of Hollywood and was down here to San Diego because, you know, Hollywood has a certain reputation. And so she can do good things. And she does, you know, maybe a movie every couple of years and spends most of the money that she gets on that on causes that she cares about, which is really, really kind of a cool thing and very nice. So, you know, I always like, you know, entrepreneurs that, that have a cause in mind, whatever it is, and whether you, you know, it's a political cause, whether you agree with it or not, have a cause and make an impact in the world and do something to change the world. And there are studies out now that especially the millennials.
Yes.
Well, more like sign up for your products and services if they feel like you're doing something to change the world, something to benefit, you know, whether it's the environment, whether it's, you know, whatever it may be. They want to get involved with people and companies that that are making a difference. So there's a lesson for entrepreneurs and aspiring business owners all over the world here. All right, let's get back to Susan. We are talking to Susan Madison.
Hello.
Her own radio show beginning next week, May 3rd at 12 Pacific. And let me get this right, 8 in the UK. I have it, Susan. I think I do. So
there we go. Repetition is working.
We asked you about your that's right. The repetition is working. Mindset is shifting already. How about that? So very, very cool. What else can I ask you? Tell me one thing most people don't know about Susan. Most of your friends wouldn't even know about Susan.
Oh, that's a really... Anyway. Yeah, I was going to say, it's things I can share live on air. Things that they wouldn't know about me.
Exactly.
Oh, I actually used to be really, really shy. Like, I'm naturally very introverted. I might appear all social butterfly, but I do like being on my own to recharge. But yeah, I was actually really, really shy. And I think that's a lot where the coaching comes from because, you know, I was very, very shy. And then you go through your teens and your 20s and they have what I call fake confidence, where you kind of appear confident on the outside, but inside you just don't believe in yourself. You think you're an imposter, think you're never going to be good enough, you're not pretty enough, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of part of my journey, going from the genuinely shy to this genuinely confident person who really, really loves themselves and wants to kind of share it with the world and get everyone on the vibe as well. So there's something for you.
Okay, that works. Okay. And do you have, from your native country of Saudi Arabia, is there a favorite food that that you love?
Oh, it's lost there. So they do something at they call it kabsa. It's like lamb and rice. But the one thing Arabs do really, really well is cook meat and rice very, very well. So it's called kabsa. And you have it like with yogurt and pine nuts. And then there's obviously the shawarma. I think you guys might have had those. They're kind of like the wrapped up chicken sandwiches,
right.
The garlic mayonnaise. They're pretty good as well.
They have those over here all the time.
Yeah, you got those. What else is there? And then they do the sweet things as well. They have the Greek have them as well. There's baklava sweets. So, yeah, there's many, many yummy foods out there. And because it's like an international culture as well, there's many, many other things that sample out there. Yeah, definitely go for the lamb and rice. That's a good one.
Okay. All right, Susan, before we wrap here, just a couple of more questions. So first, I want... to give you an opportunity to how can people learn more about you and potentially work with you over and above your radio show starting next week on May 3rd?
Okay. So if you want to find me, the best place to find me is on social media. So if you look up on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, if you search for Ask Madison, that's Madison with a double D. And the website is coming soon. I've just recently rebranded, so that is a work in progress. But yeah, the best way to get me is just email me, ask@susanmadison.com, or hit me up on social media. And what I offer, I actually have a signature system, so I call the shift system. And what it does is it gives you the kind of clarity, the confidence, peace from your past, power over your mind, so that you can... you have less talk, more action, and adventures aplenty. And the system goes, get to know yourself. So kind of listen and understand the negative record playing in your head, and then learn how to shift it. So really dive into the deep corners of your mind, confront your fears, heal your hurts, dissolve your anger. And then I kind of teach you how to flip your mindset. So to teach you how to choose your thoughts so you've got a more positive track playing in your head. So that your mind is your beautiful servant and not your dangerous master. Then comes to the self-love bit. I used to kind of think loving yourself was selfish and vain, but that is not true. And so the self-love part of my coaching program is where I teach you how to start a love affair with yourself. And then it's onto the living bit. And this is kind of, goals, productivity, all of that kind of stuff. And one of my favorite quotes is kind of what I do when I do.
How sexy is that? Start an affair with yourself.
Yes.
Start an affair
with
yourself. How sexy is that, Susan? Very nice. Very nice.
It's one of my signature talks, and I'll be having a book coming out later in the year of how to start a love affair with yourself. But I always kind of say one of my favorite quotes is that most people die when they're 30, and they just keep breathing for another 50 years. And I just don't want people to be one of those people.
Nice. Very nice. That sounds like a great great course. And they can find you again where at?
They just find me on social media. Website is coming soon, susanmadison.com. But for now, search social media for Ask Madison. Or come and join me on Coach on Fire Radio. You can call in and get some speed coaching on the spot.
Yeah. I asked that again for repetition, Susan.
I get it. Love it.
Okay. If you're just joining us, I am Michael Brooks, founder of the Coach on Fire Radio Network, and we are speaking with the lovely Susan Madison, who has a brand new show coming up on the Coach on Fire Radio Network, Ask Madison, Wednesday, May 3rd at 12 Pacific at 8 p.m. in the UK and every time zone in between. We are just about ready to wrap, Susan, and it's been a pleasure and an honor speaking with you here. Certainly, you have inspired a lot of people, and I know a lot of people are looking forward to your show starting next week. So a couple more questions. Let's see if I can think of a couple fun questions for you.
Uh-oh.
Have you seen a movie that you like and that you would recommend, just an awesome movie in the last 6 months?
Okay, what have I seen recently? Well, my favorite movies, quite of like at the opposite ends of the scale. So when I was growing up, I liked Jungle Book. But then when I got a bit older, I liked Scarface. So those are kind of old movies that I like.
One of the movies I saw, my favorite movie of last year was actually Chappie. It's about, like, you know, the robots. They plant, you know, brains into a robot. That one's a really, really good one. But recently, what did I watch? Oh, it was a Scarlett Johansson one, Ghost in the Shell. That's really, really interesting. It's kind of where they actually take a human brain and put it into a robotic body. And it's, yeah, it's quite, it has a bit of a sinister undertone, a bit of the AI tech in there, and obviously with the curvy Scarlett Johansson. Lots of awesome CGI. Yeah, out of like a recent movie, I'd definitely recommend that one. And I'm planning to see Guardians of the Galaxy on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Well, Scarlett Johansson's in it. Who cares if it's good? Just watch it for her.
There you go.
That's a guy talking.
Yep. All right, girls like her too.
Okay, so girls like her too. Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Going off track again.
Yeah. I think we'll steer away from that one for a second, Susan.
Yeah. Focus.
Oh, yeah, focus. Okay.
More questions. What do you want to know?
Right along those lines, favorite book. What do you want to know? Favorite book.
Ooh. Okay, so I'm...
Favorite book of all... Let's backtrack. Favorite book of all time. Maybe a motivational book or something like that.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I don't actually... Whether I'm watching TV or... I don't actually watch much TV, but I tend to read nonfiction or watch nonfiction as a movie.
Okay.
I think... So one of my favorite books, I read a lot of like productivity books, and one of my favorite ones is actually The 12-Week Year by Brian P. Moran, and the concept of it is it takes away the annualized thinking, and so you kind of put it into the 12 weeks, and it kind of combines like the one thing and getting things done, and a couple more other productivity books. I think it's one of the best ones that I've read, and for those that are still in the corporate world... Because, you know, a lot of my clients, they're still stuck on the corporate hamster wheel, no direction, don't know what they want. If you're in the corporate world, one of them, a good mindset productivity book is How to Have a Good Day. Well, those are two good books, which if you read them and actually do the work.
Both of them.
I find a lot of people do what we call shelf development, where they kind of go, oh, personal development doesn't work. And I was like, okay, so you read the book and then what happened? Did you actually do anything or did you just... put it on the shelf and just went,
yeah. No, both of those, I've read both of those books and they're both absolutely excellent. And breaking things down into 12-week segments, I do all of my private coaching in 90-day segments, which is basically the same thing, you know. And you've got various other things out of there, you know, the 90-day work year and things like that. There's all sorts of people doing that, but for years I've broken it down into 3-month segments because, you know, if you break down into smaller goals and smaller time segments, it's much more easy. It's a lot easier to focus and then just break it down to 4 quarters per year, and then you go that way. I've done that for absolutely years. Very, very good advice, and there's a lot of people doing that out there now. So very cool. But both those books are absolutely excellent, and I highly recommend them as well. So good job, Susan.
Good. Great
final
line.
Final question. What is Susan, you don't watch TV, so that question won't work, but usually if I ask that question from the women, I'll get, what's the most embarrassing television show you like and would be embarrassed to tell people about? And the answer I usually get is something like The Bachelor or something like that, but you don't watch TV.
No.
So we're not going to ask you that.
I have no
we're
idea.
We're going to ask you another. I know. It's some crazy I don't even know because I've never seen it. But some crazy show that a lot of women like.
I see.
Some crazy television show. Yeah, it's beyond me. Nevertheless, that's the answer I get a lot. But do you have a guilty indulgence?
Ooh. Okay. Well, do I have a guilty indulgence? I like to dance. I'm kind of one of those people that has a dance party at the drop of a hat. I don't really need anyone else in the room. Just put the music up and dance around. But with the dog, like, I have to be really careful because whenever I do it, he literally like jumps up at me and attacks me. He has no idea what I'm doing. So I have to like kind of make sure he's like fenced out or something. Otherwise, it's quite a hazardous guilty pleasure. Great Dane Dance Party.
I'm wondering how we can do a dance party on the radio. That would be kind of cool. We'll have to think about that, Susan. Maybe there's a way of doing, well, if we simulcast the show, we can do that. And we'll be working on that here shortly. So that may be something we can do. So, yeah, that would be very cool. We'll simulcast the show, and we can have a dance party on the radio and on Facebook Live. Wow.
Hell yeah.
Sign me up. Yes. Okay. Well, we are talking to Susan Madison, and we're just ready to wrap here. She's got a brand new radio show on the Coach on Fire Radio Network beginning and premiering May 3rd at 12 Pacific and 8 p.m. in the UK. So that starts next week. Mark your calendars. It's going to be an awesome show, and if you want to shift your mindset and learn all sorts of cool things, plus hear from interesting guests that are just going to be amazing, tune in to Ask Madison. Well, Susan, it has been a pleasure and an honor interviewing you. I've learned a little bit more about you myself, and I know that our audience has. I'm excited for your show, so thank you for being here.
Thank you very, very much for giving me the opportunity to be on your radio network. It's very, very awesome and very much appreciated. I'm excited about kicking off my show next week.
And I'm excited to have it, and quite literally can't wait for it. So, okay. Any final thoughts, Susan? Any final thoughts? I'll let you have the last word, as they say in radio.
Ooh, how exciting. So, I think I just kind of like to end on that, you know, the only thing that you have control over is your thoughts. And you can change those, and it's your thoughts that create your reality. So if you want to hear more about that, come and join me next Wednesday, 8 p.m. UK, noon Pacific, on the Ask Madison radio show.
All right. Thank you, Susan. As I said, it's an honor and pleasure. This is Michael Brooks with Ignite Your Life, a special edition. We have been interviewing Susan Madison of the brand-new Coach on Fire radio show, Ask Madison, premiering May 3rd, as Susan just said, at 12 Pacific and 8 in the UK. Make it a good week, everybody, and till next time, be great.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Yeah, Susan, stay on. I'll just talk here for a second. I'll just edit that out. So
cool.
Okay.
How was that?
It was good. It went much longer than we usually do, but I think it was really, really good. Very conversational and went well, and have no complaints about that. You know, I'll have to do a little bit of editing on it, but that's okay. I'll do that this weekend, and we'll put that out there. Put it out there Monday, and so what are we doing on Wednesday? We have a guest or no guest or?
Yeah. No, we have a guest. So she's called she's Jessica Buckleitner. She's actually a girl in the States. She's studying in the States. And she is, so she's actually written three books. She's been working with the UN for 7 years, and she's kind of doing this master's, which is looking at virtual reality in the education system. She's quite an interesting character. So we're going to talk about sort of obviously the mindset, what kind of drives her to do all these things. She's still pretty young. Talk about the mindset of the... Basically, she wrote two books, which is kind of published through the UN, called 50 Women. And it's where she interviewed 50 women around the world, like going through, you know, war zones and all that kind of stuff, Saudi Arabia. So, you know, what is the mindset theme of those women that kind of got through all those tragic scenarios, and then also talk about, you know, virtual reality in the education system. So we have a guest, and she's in Central Time, so she's kind of knows to dial in. So I just need kind of the number to give her, or if she gets one of these links, not sure.
Okay.
But yeah.
So we have a guest, and I've kind of I'm going to send her over some questions, so she's kind of got a rough idea where we're going with this one. So I thought she was a good
and,
first guest. The magician guy will be later. Next week.
Yeah, she's an excellent first guest. Where's she going to school?
Oh God, I should know this. I have no idea. In Central Time Zone. Kind of one of the. I'll find out when I kind of get her bio and stuff like that. But no idea.
Okay.
But, So.
Okay.
There you go. First
cool. Yeah, I'm just curious where she's going to school. Yeah, very cool.
Okay. Alrighty.
Very, very cool. And what is your book looking during the
Sorry?
Show? That's coming up. Your book.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about that again.
So the How to Start a Love Affair with Yourself is like one of my signature
books. Yeah, okay,
talks.
That's right.
And like, you know, so
right.
It's an easy one, easy book to write now that I've gotten over the fact that writing a book is scary. Just write one out there, sell it cheap on Amazon, just get it out there. So the aim is to kind of have it published and obviously using my voice, doing the audiobook as well before Christmas. So that's the plan about that one.
Okay.
Which will be quite good. I think.
Just trying to think. That would be, and you turned that into like a half-day seminar too?
Oh, but yeah, all of that stuff. So, it's one of my talks, and it'd definitely be a workshop or an online course, because even though I kind of teach mindset and confidence, what I'm really teaching, like the root of it is self-love. That's a massive part of it. But it's a bit woo-woo, so I don't necessarily say that all the time. Hence the catchy title
right.
when I start talking about it. But it's a good one, right?
Yeah. No, and I'm thinking that on the VIP day that we're putting together with you, Patsy, and myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you want me to talk about
that'd
self-love,
be perfect
like,
for that.
That's one of my things. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
So putting together by September, which would be a precursor to your book coming out,
yeah.
And then I was originally thinking for the TEDx talk for you when we were talking earlier.
Uh-huh.
It's somewhere in the Saudi Arabia stuff for changing, you know, kind of changing the world. But maybe we just do it on a love affair with yourself.
Yeah.
Because that kind of changes everything, too. Because so many people have a problem with that. If you're not happy with yourself, so many people have a problem with that, and you've come through that yourself, so that maybe the trick there will be getting it down in a dynamic format to 18 minutes.
I can do that.
I've already
got it as a 40-minute, a 20-minute, and a 10-minute talk, so it's just you have to, when you're doing the shorter talk, you just have to be like a lot.
Uh-huh.
Like I've done like the public speaking for a couple of years. Bit of training from Elliot. Like I've kind of trained with quite a few people, and it's the trick when you're doing the shorter talks, you cannot waffle. You know, I've got the main 3 points of it, and you just got to pick the stories and shorten them a bit if you're doing the 18 or 10 minute talks, or even 3 minute talks. I can do it in 3 minutes. That one.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, no, that would be a good one for that one.
Okay.
As well. So.
Right.
So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah. So expand that. I think that would be your 18-minute talk. And the reason I would do that is because you'll get all that exposure for your book coming out in December. This is going to get a lot of promotion, publicity, and everything else we've got going with this. We're already starting to get questions from reporters, and we haven't even put it out there except for the host yet, just from inquiries I made. You guys be interested in covering this?
Yeah.
That's
what happens when you start signaling.
I just
kind of
said, I said what to him was I left him a message on the phone because I've worked with him in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, we're doing a TEDx style thing out here. It's not TEDx. We're calling it Wavemaker, and we're doing it with up-and-comers, and we're going to have live audiences on September 13th and 14th. Would you be interested in covering it? And he called me back like a half hour later, and he says, tell me more about that. That sounds kind of cool. And,
nice.
And so I told him, and if we get San Diego Union, we'll get tons of publicity throughout Southern California, which then will just turn into a global story, which
nice.
Is easy to do from a local story, which means we'll also get the TV stations out there here. And
okay.
They'll, you know, tape some of the speeches and things like that, and we'll take those, and then we'll turn that into global through social media. And so it could very well go viral, so that's very good. So I'm happy with that. I'm going out to the hotel here shortly. And pay them a fortune for the down payment. All of that.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and then the rest of the weekend I work on getting people in. But in terms of you and the event we're going to do to help defray some of the costs, you're going to have to be in a little early. So
yeah,
you're going to have
yeah.
to come in probably the 6th. And then, the 6th. And then because we'll spend all day the 7th putting it together
mm-hmm.
and rehearsing and getting it all ready to go and set up. And I'll have a little bit of fun too and things like that. May take you and Patsy out and do the hot air balloon ride early because we'll have a little bit of time to play too and
mm-hmm.
Take you out there. And
awesome.
And we'll have a we're getting like 4 rooms for that have a spectacular view, and you'll have one of those.
Okay.
And then the others may not have too much of a view for them, for everyone else, but that's okay.
they're not flying over from the UK.
They're not flying over from the UK or Scotland or anything like that. But but I'm putting it on, so I get one of those too.
Of course you do. I was gonna say you get the
I'm
best
putting
room
it on.
In the house.
I get one of those too. They're all the same, but from what I've seen, and they'll all be there. So we'll try to have some fun. There'll be a little bit of a break between our VIP thing, and we'll have about a day, in between that. But we'll take a day to plan. And then we'll do a 2-day event. Patsy's going to do basically a law of attraction thing, but what's
mm-hmm.
wrong with the law of attraction too?
Good.
Which I have serious problems with some of the law of attraction. I have some serious issues with it.
I don't use the word because it's got like a bad, like there's so many different ways you can call it. It's the same thing, like thoughts create your reality, whatever, high vibration. But I don't even use that anymore because it's got such a bad rap. You can teach it in other ways.
Right. Yeah. Well, and she does. She, my original title of my book
mm-hmm.
was The Real Secret.
Ah, I like that.
Basically.
I like that.
Blasting, basically, The Secret.
Yeah.
That was the
Get
original title of my book. Yeah.
I like that one.
And the publisher came back and said, "Are you out of your freaking mind?"
Oh, okay.
We are not
willing
to take it.
Should have come to the UK. They would have done it for you, no problem.
They were not willing to, at the time, take on The Secret as directly with the title as I wanted to do. They just weren't willing to do it. It's too popular at the time. Oprah was promoting it. And
here
said,
you
are
have
you,
the anti-book.
Are you crazy? Yeah. And the book didn't change, just the title changed.
Okay.
I still blasted The Secret in the book and used quotes from it to blast it. So, and they didn't
want
that
changed. What's the
change.
Book called? What's your book?
Don't Seek Success, Be Happy is the name of the book now. But that's, 4 years old now. But it was Don't Seek Success, Be Happy is what we settled on. But happy is with an I.
Stand
belief, enthusiasm, heart, attitude, passion, purpose, and imagination. And
I like that.
And the idea is to follow those 7 core principles.
Mm-hmm.
And everything will... everything will fall into place if you get better at following those 7 core principles every day. it models a book from the 50s that I think we all got away from, and self-help and self-improvement, human potential category, by Viktor Frankl, who wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning, and everyone seemed to get away from that, and talked mostly about how to make more money, and not about passion and purpose and making an impact and the money will follow type of thing. His position was, if you aim at success and you just focus on that, sometimes you'll miss it because you're focusing too hard on that and not focusing on what you were truly meant to be doing in the world. And if you focus on what you were truly meant to be doing in the world and you have a solid purpose, and they seem to get away from that. And then Tony Robbins never really got away from it, but then even he fell into, here's how you make, more money, because it's not all their fault. That's what
money
culture,
now.
That's all what culture wanted. That's all what culture, the culture wanted. So they were giving everyone what they wanted, basically. But they fell away from that. And so I kind of, re-brought Victor's book back into the forefront and modernized it, quite a bit. But in the process, I blasted The Secret, There's one quote in there that just galled me. You don't know need to know how this happens, but here's what it did for me. I have a big house. I have a Ferrari. I have a wife that's 30 years younger than me. And I got it all because of the law of attraction by doing absolutely nothing but manifesting it.
Brilliant.
Sure you did,
I'm
buddy.
I'm sure that's what happened, I'm sure that's exactly what happened.
That's what happened.
So far.
Yes.
I like that.
I lay on the couch.
I'm going to get your book, Michael. I like that happy thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll send it to you. I'll send you the ebook version.
All right. Cool. Good.
Which is a little bit shorter than the print version. And the print version's on Amazon somewhere. But it's basically run its course. I never really did much with it. It was critically acclaimed, but never reached bestseller status because at the time I wasn't skilled at marketing as I am today. Today I could turn it into a bestseller if I wanted to re-release it, which I may do someday.
But change the title to The Real Secret. Honestly, you can do that now.
You know, I could self-publish it now and do that. I could change the title to The Real Secret now. I could self-publish it, but I had a publisher at the time, so I was kind of locked in. Very locked into that, so to speak. So Patsy does it a little bit differently because she talks about, basically it's a belief thing and then action,
Yes. That's what I say in my talks. I don't know where I got it from. The key part of law of attraction is action.
Yeah, exactly. The key part, you're absolutely right about that. And The Secret, nowhere, they think it's a birthright, in fact, the author said, everything in the universe is your birthright. All you have to do is ask them for it, and you really don't need to know how it's going to happen. Or you don't need to do anything else, but it's your birthright. And my position is, it's not your birthright. You do have gifts that you were meant to be here about to do.
Yeah.
And you need to discover what those are. But it's certainly not a birthright to have everything. You need to work
together.
You need to work together. It's not a birthright. The secret says it's your birthright.
No. That's one of Gandhi's seven
what that means,
sins.
Too.
Yeah, no, I think it's one of Gandhi's seven sins is wealth without work. Like, you have to work.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with
entitled society
today. So.
We're
on the same vibe.
All of our hosts and everything and all the people that I work with, they're all on the same page on this, or otherwise they wouldn't be part of my team. there's no way.
Exactly.
But a birthright, are you kidding me? People misinterpret that birthright, especially younger millennials.
Exactly.
Will misinterpret that. I mean, they can be lazy because it's a birthright.
Yeah.
So you owe me,
and
The Secret doesn't necessarily say you owe me, but I say, well, but the universe is going to give it all to you magically without you doing anything.
Yeah. Honestly, I talk about this over here. There's like a serious disconnect. Huh? Particularly, I like millennials, but some of them, there's just this massive disconnect between. They've all got these massive dreams, but they're just like really disconnected from what it actually takes to make these dreams happen. So
yeah.
Hence why I want to teach them how to do it. Like yeah. But anyway, we could talk about this for a long time. We should do it when I come to San Diego.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, that's true. And okay, so yeah, I know it's late back there, and we've been talking forever. So, all right, we've got to get you officially enrolled in this thing. Did you check your finances? Is that $250 work for you? Or?
So I can do a $250 deposit. The only thing was, right, so it was I thought it'd be less than the $3,400, but if that's like including everything, I'll get the flight, then that's doable. It's just kind of like when
you have to
when
get the flight. But you're gonna make more than that back. Season.
Yeah, I know.
You're gonna make more.
It's just
than
a
that
timeline.
We've got 100.
When...
Got 150.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't worry about that. I'll work with you on that because you're part of the VIP thing, and we'll work on. You know, if it becomes an issue, just let me know, and we'll work around that. You know, there'll be some other payments that'll have to come in just because we're locked into it. But depending on how fast we start to get money coming in from marketing the VIP day, it might not be a problem at all. So,
exactly.
Yeah, we're going to start doing that right there. We probably will have a conference call sometime within the next 10 days with all of us to start to put the VIP thing together, put the marketing in place, and talk about what everyone's going to be doing and when we're going to be doing it. So, so all we need is for the $250 and have that paid right away. And then don't worry about anything else. So I'll do that after we hang up, get that paid, and then don't worry about the rest of it because we're going to have money coming in. Okay. So just don't worry about it. And we'll go from there.
You send me like payment invoice.
Yeah. I'll just send you an invoice. Most people are going to be on auto pay, but not you because you're part of a bigger plan. You're part of a much bigger plan. So don't worry about that. Are you still there? Did I lose you? Sorry, I think the radio show cut us off. Hello? Yeah, I think the radio show play cut us off. So don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything other than that, because you're part of a much bigger plan. Seriously. Are you there now? Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I can. Yeah. But you're part of a much bigger. You're part. Can you hear me? Okay. Can you hear me? Seriously. Hi, can you hear me now? Hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me now? Hear me now.
Seriously.
Can you hear me now? Hello, can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Hello? Seriously.